But we started a series on hearing. Let me ask you something. If there was one thing would pop up in your thinking, would pop up in your thinking when we said, how did you learn to talk? How did you learn to talk? Anybody?
By hearing.
By hearing. That's how you learn to talk, right? By hearing. And as people went through and expressed to you, you know, and try to get you to say their name and all that stuff like it, that's how a child learns how to talk. Everything about our spiritual life is hinged, watch me, on hearing. Over and over and over and over in the scriptures, you'll find the word hearing, heard, or hear. Over and over. So this verse is talking about things, and there's four precepts, or there's four keys, not precepts, four keys to unlocking this verse. Now remember, the first part of chapter 4 is talking about the seed. It's talking about the soil and how it was prepared and what's before you put the seed in it. Now the Bible is very clear. It says the seed is the Word of God. The seed is not Brother Billy. The seed is not the preacher, not the Sunday school teacher. It is the Word of God is the seed. So how that's presented and how you receive and how you hear what the Scripture has to say to your heart determines what your life is going to be and the success of your life. I don't care if you make $200 million a year. That is not successful life. The successful life is your walk with Jesus Christ in the Word of God as the Word of God. Anybody want to hear about this thing about Jesus Christ being called the Word? What does that mean? Why was he called the Word in John chapter 1? It's because the Word expresses things and tells things for us to hear what he has to say. His Word is given to us. We have the most precious book in the world, and probably the least read book in the whole world is the Bible, the Word of God. And that is God's Word to his people and to the lost and perishing world. That's what it's for us to hear what it has to say. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Amen. Now, when I preach funerals at my family, I make sure they understand the fact that that is true. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There's a hell to be shunned and there's a heaven to gain, and God wants us to see that. Now, for us Christians here this morning, it is not about heaven. We're not talking about heaven. We have a heavenly home. Praise God for that. But this thing is not about going to heaven. When somebody dies, it's not about going to heaven or going to hell. It's because of the preparation in their life before they got to this point. We are to evangelize. Your life is not your own. You are bought with a price if you're born again. You need to propagate the gospel. You need to preach the gospel. You need to tell somebody that you come in contact with about what God has to say about your sin. It's not about do you want to go to heaven. It's about what have you done with your sin. Amen. And by the way, we have a shy church here, brother. They're shy about saying amen when they know they ought to, or hallelujah, or whatever, or even grunt, amen. It's the truth. We have the eternal Word of God. I may lie to you, but the Word of God is not going to lie to you. The Word of God is going to lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Hallelujah. And so with that being said, let's look at our verses. Remember, the first part of this chapter is talking about the planting of the seed and the ground in which it's planted. We always, in our church, Victory Baptist Church, somebody at Victory Baptist Church, tell me what our saying is about our services on Sunday and on Wednesday. When we leave this place, what are we supposed to do? You people are making me mad. I'm sorry. Seal these truths to my heart. Why? Because you can't remember them. You can't grasp this stuff. Is the world filled with activity of everything on the earth except the Word of God? Amen. Billy Graham passed away, went to heaven this week. Praise God. I got to looking at some of those old films that man preached. I'm telling you what, I never seen such a sea of humanity in my life. And he preached all around the world like that. And I'm going to tell you something, he was the simplest preacher I've ever heard. I mean, there was no crooks in that. He just said the truth, and God blessed it. And he was used in a mighty way, but Billy Graham's gone. Now we're left. And he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to follow in his steps. And I believe properly following in the obedient steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do exactly the same thing that God did with that man's life. Maybe not in the numbers that we see, but he's doing something in your life today. And let me tell you something. They're looking at you, and you're either pointing them to Christ or you're pointing them away from Christ. You say, I don't like that. It doesn't make any difference if you like it or not. I don't like it either. But it's the truth. What you do with these kids' lives makes everything in the world worth living or not worth living. It's to see what they do when they hear the word of God. Amen. So notice he said in verse, I'm going to read verse 21 down through verse 25 of chapter 4 of the book of Mark. And he said unto them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel? That's what I just got finished telling you. What are we supposed to be doing? Giving the light to a lost and perishing world. That's our responsibility. Well, I'm a plumber. I don't care if you are a plumber. I don't care if you're a doctor. I don't care what you are. You still have the responsibility as a Christian to lead people to Jesus Christ. You know who's evangelistic in this church? Not Brother Billy. It's you. You're to go get them and bring them to this place. It's your responsibility. And I'm to preach the Bible, and I'm to keep the church together so that we can operate as a fine-tuned instrument or machine for the glory of God. You are to bring people to church. I don't know if to the degree Brother Adams here invited Brother Patrick. Is that right? And Brother Patrick got sick. And I mean serious sick. And he called at 9 or 9:30 at night from the hospital and said, y'all pray for me. I'm sick. Amen. I'm having that put on my tombstone. I told y'all I was sick. Amen. But he was sick. And the church, these little old ladies, Gloria said, should I call Miss Ellie? I said, sure, she's in bed, get her up. Miss Jacqueline, these elderly ladies, go to bed with the chickens, amen. She said, Zemma said, you better call me. And so the church prayed, and God raised him up. And it was more miraculous than I received, when we started this thing. I didn't know it was that bad. But he got up, he came to church. And then he brought half of Florence over here with him when he come back. Amen. You say, what are you doing? You're bragging on Brother Patrick? No, it's what he's supposed to do. Now, do we need to scratch each other's back every once in a while? Wouldn't hurt a thing. Unless you're like these old hogs. You scratch them when they lay down, you know, and you scratch with their legs and all that stuff. No. You are to bring people to the house of God. And I believe it's Miss Jane, Brother Pruitt, brought a Catholic couple. Isn't that right? They were Catholic to our church. Of course, they only came one time, but I'm just saying, at least hopefully to God, they heard the gospel. And we need to do that. We need to see that. God is not interested in your religion. He's interested in your soul. And if your doctrine's wrong, you can get it right. Amen. I told Brother Larry that. He said, I don't believe like you're doing everything. I said, God will forgive you, man. And you know what? We have some of the sweetest fellowship in the world. Amen. I mean, one of the disciples said to Jesus, what about him? What about this guy? And Jesus said, what's that got to do with you? Focus on you. Don't look at somebody else and try to set your situation. It's about you. Amen. Sin should you confess? Well, I know that somebody needs, I'll confess Zelma's sin. I mean, she calls Ms. Jackman and says, get down here. I don't know if that's right with God or not. But it's easy for me to confess her sin. Well, what about Brother Billy's? What about Brother Billy's? Can I be the key? Today's refreshing. Can you be the key? Today's refreshing. Are you willing to put yourself out there? Are you willing to confess your sin? My wife is like the Fonz. Y'all ever know the Fonz? When I was growing up, the Fonz. He couldn't say I was wrong. He'd say, I'm. That's my wife. She can't say that. Especially to me. Now, she may say it to Brother Pruitt. I mean, you know Brother Pruitt. He's up there. But not Brother Billy. Amen. So let me say this. We need to see that we are to put the gospel light out to a lost and perishing world. They're not going to like me if I do that. Did the Bible say you're to be light? Listen, the perfect Son of God who came into this world and died for your sin, nobody except his disciples liked him. And most of his disciples questioned who he was. I mean, there were people that got saved after Jesus was gone, but they saw the gospel message. And that's what we're to do. It's not to talk about it. Now, should you be ugly? You old sorry sinner, you need to get... No. You look at him as a blind man. Can't see. Can't see nothing. Can't see spiritual truth. Cannot reckon all these things. Cannot put all these things together. Jesus taught in parables. So his disciples would know and the rest of the world wouldn't. Amen. Because the stories that didn't have anything to do with some of the stuff that he was telling was talking about the kingdom of God, was talking about deep things. Jesus wanted to teach his disciples and train his disciples, but he didn't want them to know the underworkings of that. He wanted them to see their sin and the need for confession of that sin. I believe with all of my heart that the majority of the people sitting in this church this morning need to confess something to God. I didn't come here to get my finger pointed at Brother Bailey. I didn't point my finger at you personally. I'm telling you, sometimes we've got to the place to where we don't recognize our own sin in life. Let me tell you something. If I do this, it's kind of bad at first, bothers me at first, but if I do it 24 hours a day, I could do anything I want to with that without worrying about it. You know what's happening? We've been lulled asleep in the things of the world. You know what we need? We need unadulterated preaching of the Word of God. We need to quit beating around the bush and talk about your sin. And I know, just got one, come on. But I appreciate every one of them. Amen. So he says here, it's to be set on a candlestick so that the people can see. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Young people, listen to me. You better get it off of you. He gives you opportunity to confess your sin. But if you don't, he will deal with your sin. Okay? Right. It will happen. And I'm talking about hearing. Hear what the Word of God has to say. Which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but it shall not come to abroad. So God is going to reveal things. As some preacher said this one time on a big screen, you'll see all your sin, the world will see all your sin. I don't know. That's possible. What I'm saying is that your sin will be revealed. Okay? You can try to cover it up. You can do whatever you want to do. It will be. But now watch me. Young people, this is a bunch of smart kids over here. Over there. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You will never see it again. You will never have to worry about it again. And God can use your life now that you're confessed clean so that you can do the same. Listen, you kids are going to school somewhere and doing this, that, and other that none of us will ever be able to do. But God will use you. Amen. Can you pray in school? Well, they say you can't. Well, I'd go ahead and do it anyhow. That's what I'd do. You say, yeah, but you're a troublemaker. I'm not a troublemaker. I'm telling you the Bible tells us to. Look at Daniel. They were just kids. They said, you can't pray over here like that. So what did Daniel do every day? He went to his window, looked east, prayed and thought about what God had done to the nation of Israel, thought about what God had done to him, and he just got down on his knees and prayed, amen. Amen. And what did God do? He used him. What is there, 5, 6 kings that he went through? And by the way, let me tell you something. When Israel was released and they got to go home, God required him to stay there. Man, I broke my heart. The only one that stuck by his guns was Daniel, and God didn't let him go home when his people got to go back to Israel, go back home. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean God's mean? No, God was using that old boy. He was pure as a driven snow, man. God was using that man. And God wants to use us the same way. Amen. I got to get on with this thing. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you are hearing me this morning. But if you don't hear me, and we're going to go through the principles here, if you don't hear me with the intent of following the Word of God and what God tells you to do and how God touches your heart, his little finger is sticking in there and he's saying, you're the one, you need to confess this, he'll bring things to your mind. If you're not hearing with that in mind, then you're not hearing. That's what he's saying here. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So he says here, and he said unto them, take heed, this is the verse that I'm going to read this verse twice now. So listen, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. You know something that hurt me more as a young person than anything else? Listening to filthy jokes. Telling filthy jokes. Listening to things. I mean, I grew up in the rock and roll age, bless God, would have had real meaning to the word. Bebop, bebop, bam, boom, ba, hooty, 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 fruity, amen. I mean, that stuff was good stuff. It led a lot of kids to hell. Led a lot. You know, well, I don't like this stuff. I like country music. Yeah. Stop the world, let me off. Down at the beer joint. Now, come on, man, let's get real. Is it true or not? Music can destroy your life. You want some good music, buddy? We got some good music back there. I mean, we got some CDs. Bless God, we'll give you one. If you promise to use it, instead of using what that bunch of junk you're listening to. You want to know why I don't get to preach around much? That's why. Amen. Now, you say what you will, that the Bible is the only truth we have. And what it tells you, scratch it on the wall, it's going to come to pass. Look what it says, and take heed what you hear. There's four principles in here. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, taken even which he had. So I want to focus on the verse 24. And I've already preached three messages on hearing. It is so urgent that we hear what God has to say. The first one, we remember this, the four principles that I told you about is that we have a precept, a proverb, a practice. Can't think of the other, and I'll get to it next week. Amen. Hey, notice he says here, we've already talked about the precept. We talked about the precept. Look, if you look at the verse, it says, and he saith to them, take heed what you hear. You better listen. You better mark that in your thinking. And I don't care what your age is this morning. I reference these young people because they are our heritage. They are the ones, when we're gone, who will still be here if Jesus tarries his coming. And what they have, they will give to a lost and perishing world. What we train, what we teach them. Remember we talked about a baby and how he learns how to talk? What we get them to understand and grasp and hang on to. That's what they will use in the future. So, it's not everything in the world that we talk about today, you know, we want to send our kids to college. Not every kid is supposed to go to college. Okay? I mean, come on, man. We need people like Steve, who's a policeman, loves Jesus Christ, policeman. We need policemen like that. We need to get back to the place where we respect people that have that kind of responsibility. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody was doing 125 miles an hour through Waco at midnight, I'd let him go. You say, what? I ain't a policeman. You think I'd pull some quacko over on the side of the road and take a chance he'd blow my brains out while I'm out there trying to talk to him courteous? No. No, I'm not a policeman. He told me one day, Dad, you ought to come ride with me sometime. I have a shotgun in the middle and you can have that. I said, man, are you kidding me? I'd kill three or four people before midnight. If I said, put your hands up, honey, you better put your hands up. Amen. You're going down. I'm not a cop. But we need them. They're precious. They're out there for you. They're out there for me. The firemen, all those people. We have a young man he grew up with who died in a fire in Houston, Texas. And lived a miserable, miserable life for about, I don't know how long was it? 2 or 3 years he lived after that terrible thing. Amputated both of his legs. I mean, everything under the sun. He never could talk again after that. And he was just burned up. Something fell on him. It was on fire and just pitiful. But we need them. And what a blessing they are. We all have a ministry. We all have a work that God's placed in our hearts to do. We ought to realize that. And we need to see the precept that he's talking about, that he's starting with, or the foundational thing he's saying, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Now, we're going to talk about today. We're not going to talk about the precept. We're going to talk about the proverb. Now, what is a proverb? In the Bible, the Bible is filled with a short expression which is embedded a spiritual truth. So it's a short expression. Proverbs, one of these young men told me this morning, or we was talking about it after Sunday school, and how the Proverbs has much to say about children, but what they do, and how they should live their life. And it says, flee youthful lust. Amen. What's flee? Run. But it's fun, preacher. It is for a season. I'm telling you right now, the Bible says, make sure they hear you this morning. Young people, you can have a good time for a while. But it is going to come to an end. And the end's going to be far worse than you ever dreamed about it being. And by the way, we have enough older folks in here can say amen right there because they know what we're talking about is the truth. We're knowing the Bible says this, it is the truth. Now, there may be some of them hard-headed, won't admit they're a sorry old sinner back in their younger days, but I'm telling you, they were, and I wasn't even there. Amen. I like Miss Jane. She smiles at me every once in a while. So a definition of measure he's talking about here is a limited portion. It is a unit of measurement. It is a determining dimension or extent of something. That's what a measure he's talking about. You measure out something. When you mix a cake together. Amen. Somebody said, I believe Charlie said, that maybe I was the chili god when I make chili. Maybe I was the chili. I said, no. I make the chili. I think if I lose the recipe or something like this, the church will probably get rid of me. You know, I mean, they love my chili. Okay. Well, Ms. Jones said, Brother Billy, I want you to tell me how you make the chili. So I told her over the telephone. I told her how to make the chili. And she said, no, that ain't right. She said, you are holding something out. I said, no, I'm not, Ms. Jones. I'm not holding anything out. I mean, we had a preacher come by here one time and wanted to know the ingredients I put in the chili. And he went down here to Salado and he won at chili cook-off. Down here. He won first place. He got $50 and a blue ribbon. I got nothing. You know, I told him about it. I said, you give me half, $25. That's pretty good. Oh, he said, no, I won. You didn't win without my recipe. So I told Miss Joan, I said, honest to God, I'm telling you the truth. This is what I put in my chili. The only thing is, she tried to make a tub about this big around, about this tall, for her whole family at one time, and she made it all in one big batch. You can't do it. I don't do it that way. I mix a little bit, and I taste it. That's why I don't want chili after I fix chili. And then I put that over and let it simmer, and I make another batch, and I make another batch, and I make another batch, and I make another batch. And that's how I come up with my chili, because I taste it, and I know what it tastes like as I do it. Now, let me tell you something. You know what's wrong with most people? They have never tasted of the good stuff of God. They have never tasted. The preacher says this, well, that's for somebody else. I just don't agree with that, and I'm just going to... Let me tell you something. You better get over that. You don't agree with what I'm reading you this morning. You better get over that. And you better get it down right. America's where it's at today because of the lack of Christians to follow Jesus Christ in truth of God's holy word. And the Bible says, and we'll get back to that in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we'll see God move in a mighty way again. Let me tell you something. We've come to this church for years and years and years. I have driven from Milano, Texas up here on a Wednesday night and nobody was here but me and Miss Gloria. I'm not bragging on that. I'm talking about if we don't extend ourselves. If we don't go past our feelings or past the weather or past this or past that or our tiredness or our weariness, we don't go past that because there's an urgent need out here today for Christians to live like they're supposed to. Amen. And I'm not asking you to live like Brother Billy says. No. No, that's not nowhere in this thing. So then the definition of meat, it shall be meated unto you according to what you do. It's in your hands. He's telling you it's in your hands. I'm going to give you accordingly and what belongs, what's right, according to what you do. I said a while ago, if you don't pray, then you are in sin. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have to have prayer. We have to have God here. If God doesn't show up, we're in a mess. We got to try to please everybody here. You know, most people come to the meeting, they won't see if we're going to please them. Amen. I want them to be happy. I want them to enjoy the service. I want them to enjoy the food. I want them to do others. But the focus is missing the mark when we don't get back to what God says in His Word. You want God to visit us during days of refreshing? You better pray. You know what we need? You know, 2 or 3 years ago, we had somebody trying to rob the cars and stuff out here. They know when we're in here. They know when we take a break. And they know when we're going to come back. And they were, you know, we have guys now that walk around the property like a guard watching the place while we're in here worshiping. You know what you ought to pray for? Pray the blood of Jesus Christ on this place, every place on it, every vehicle on it, everybody that's coming, help them get here and back and home back. Amen. You need to pray that the devil is bound. You say, well, how are you going to do that? By the blood of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Bind the devil away from this place. You know what Brother Larry Winkler said? It'd be a sorry devil didn't fight against the things of God. You know what he's going to do during days of refreshing? We always have it. The well went out 1 year. Cost us $3,500 to fix it right in the middle of us having to fix it in days of refreshing. We never have enough money. My wife said, yeah, but when we get enough money and everything, you give extra to the preachers. Amen. I are one. I don't get any money. I mean, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if we're blessed, we give those that come more of a money, more of an offering and stuff like this. Praise God. So the definition of meet is a fixed standard. It is a standard. It is to be allotted. Something is allotted, distributed, or appropriated. So he's saying in this verse here, where he's talking about with what measure you meet, he's talking about the standard. The standard in which you pray, the standard in which you're sincere with God, God will meet things in your life that you never dreamed He'd meet. Well, we're just struggling along trying to make our bills. Well, get your mind off your bills and get your mind on God. They sang a song a while ago, and that song was, God will meet your needs. God will take care of you. Well, when grandma's sick and dying of cancer, we pray fervently, amen. Hopefully you do. But what about the little jump? What about the little stuff in our life? What about the need? Listen, I pray for everything. I'm not using myself as an example. I know that without Him, I am nothing. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 5. We are nothing without Him. You don't believe that? You might die in a few minutes. I'm not saying that God's going to kill you because you don't believe. Like I am saying this. If your life doesn't match up with the Word of God, you are in danger. I'm telling you, you are in danger. We need to submit ourselves to Him so that God can. Listen, watch me. Now this is going to go over for you that's taking medicine or something. I want to make sure you understand this, but I'm going to hurry as fast as I can. I was going to have a surgery on my diaphragm. And my stomach went up through my diaphragm. There's a reason for that diaphragm in there. It's to keep all that stuff down there where it belongs instead of getting up there where your heart and your lungs and all that is. And I'd gone for years with my stomach up past the diaphragm. And the doctor said it was going to be pretty major. 4 or 5 hours of surgery. It ended up being 6 hours of surgery, and they couldn't wake me up afterwards. But before all that happened, I had to have some tests run. So they ran a test on me, and the guy goes down my throat and looks at everything, gives a picture to the doctor that's going to operate on me, and we go through all that process. And at 9 o'clock one night, on a Friday night, the doctor called me. And he said, Mr. Barho, we found a cancer cell in your esophagus. And I said, okay, what do we do now? He said, I think what we ought to do is you need to go to another doctor, like MD Anderson, and let them run their tests and do their thing, and we go from there. I said, okay, go ahead. So the next day we're coming to the church. We're riding down over close to Killeen. We're coming down to the church, and my wife is crying. And I said to her, honey, what's the matter? And she said, well, that guy said that you had a cancer cell in your esophagus. And I said, honey, I know that. She said, well, you don't seem to be upset about it. I said, hey, we've been preaching all of our life on the abstract things that you'll go through and experience in the life. Is God real? When I die, am I going to heaven? And I went through all that with her. She said, this is what she said. Are you okay with this? I said, first of all, I don't have any choice. Amen. You don't get right with God. You know why? Because you don't have any choice. You're going to experience things that you never, and you may be right in the perfect will of God, like old Job was, and things are going to come in your life, and you say, what in the world is going on here? God is still working. God is still doing some stuff. And my wife said, are you okay with this? I said, well, sure, I'm okay with it. She said, you sound like it doesn't even bother you. I said, do you mean to say to me, you think that I'm not nervous about having a cancer in my body? She said, don't act like it. I said, well, I am. If it'll make you feel better, I don't want it. Amen. I'm like Zelma. I started thinking about wording a prayer to God and say, take this cancer to hell where it belongs. She did that, and God did it. I mean, that was how many years ago, Zelma? Man, that's 30-some-odd years ago. Look at her now. She's sassier than she was back then. Cocky. Amen. She tells people and points and tells them to do stuff, and they go do it. I've been trying that for years. I've never got anybody to do it, including my wife. But are you okay with it? What if the doctor said to you, now what we're talking about, we're talking about hearing. What if the doctor said to you, you have cancer? Would that change your spiritual aspects of life? I tell you one thing, it'll sure get you focused. Amen? You better listen to the doctor. Do they know it all? No. But they're good. I like what they did. That old boy went in there and he took my stomach and cut it loose from my lungs, cut it loose from my the aorta. He said that was the most nervous thing he'd ever done in his operation. If he touched that aorta just right, I'd bleed to death before they could stop me. He did all of that. My wife said, thank God. And he said, yeah, thank God for that. If the doctor says to you, you're in bad shape, how would you respond to that? I guarantee you one thing, you'd be listening. If he said you had diabetes, Steve, the doctors told him he had diabetes. So what did the doctor tell you? Slim down, boy. Amen. Lose weight. I mean, it's funny. Not the diabetes. It's funny to see his wife control his eating of sweet stuff. I ate one of them little cinnamon rolls this morning with all that pookie running off all over the place. And when I took a bite of it, and there was still some on my plate, I sopped it up. He ate his without any pookie. Well, I wouldn't waste my time eating one of the cinnamon rolls without pookie on top of it. Amen. But his wife makes sure she's after his case. Amen. He has diabetes, but what does he do? He hears what to do, and his wife makes him do what he heard. Amen. What am I going to do if I lose my job? Get another one? Hello? What am I saying? I am saying that you will hear what you get paid. You'll hear what the restrictions are and what the things you can do at your job place. And let me tell you something, young people. Don't come up with this mess when you get older and you get a little less sense than you had when you was younger. Let me say something to you. The boss is always the boss. Well, I tell you one thing. Look, God, I'm better than that. And I tell you, I need $25 an hour. I'm leaving. You mean going out on the street without a job? Is that what you're talking about? Well, you know, somebody will take care of me. Hogwash. The Bible said if you don't work, neither should you eat. That's the idea of the world. We're talking about the idea of God. God said have some responsibility. Rest homes are filled with old folks all over our nation. Now watch me. I know that there's certain things you can do and certain things you can't do. I understand that. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the younger generation are to take care of the grandma and grandpa. I don't like that. Doesn't make any difference. In fact, the business is the churches take care of widows indeed. But not if they have people in the church that could take care of their own. They're to take that responsibility off the church. The church didn't do that. What if we had 10 widows indeed in our church? That is, they took care of preachers. They did this. They did that. I mean, we got a couple that ain't been here a year or two, whatever it is. And you know what they excited about? I know y'all want to know. I'm just waiting for a sign. You know what they want to do? They want to help somebody. Today's refreshing. They want to put them up in their home. Somebody wants to bring a camper trailer down here and let us use it. There's people that come down here that can't afford to have a motel down here all week long, would love to stay, but they can't. We have missionaries that come to our meeting. Our church pays for them to stay in the motel down here. You say, well, just don't do that. Well, what about you? Are you going to come all week and eat three meals a day and have a good time and hear the singing and the preaching and all that stuff and shout and holler, ah, you, all that mess, and leave all the responsibility to somebody else? Shame on you. Shame on you. Stephen didn't see the need of doing work and stuff around the place like this here, and he's killing his mom and daddy. And I'm not sure it's Stephen. I think it's more Cheryl. Amen. But you know why? They love the Lord. They want to get their 2 cents in. I talked to a guy this week. He wants me to buy him some cows, Patrick. And he called me and he was talking about buying his cows and everything. And he said, listen, if there's anything I can ever help you do or whatever, he said, just let me know. Just let me know and I'll help you. He said, how's the meeting going? How you think the meeting's going to go? I said, some guys like you has got lots of money and need to give a couple of grand. You say you didn't say that. I did say that. You know what he said? I'll get her in the mail. I said, hold it. If that's what impresses you to do what you do, then you've done it for the wrong reason. I said, I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. If God puts it on your heart to give something, give it. And everything will be great. And let me say something to you. You can't outgive God. Somebody said, well, you can't outgive God. Are you trying? Most people are not trying. I can see y'all enjoying it so much. I'm getting down to my point here. My point is, here is the proverb. We talked about the precept last week. We're talking about the proverb today. Here's what it said. But with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. In other words, he's saying you set the standard. Remember we talked about that word means standard? Meat means the standard. He allows you to set the standard. In proportion as you give yourself. Now, we're not talking about money here. We're talking about as you give yourself to hearing what God has to say. You say, what do you mean? When he taps on your door, listen to what he says. The year that he got saved on a Wednesday night, we all week long prior to that, preachers had talked about somebody really, really needed to get saved in the meeting. And we weren't talking about everybody. If everybody needed to get saved, praise God. But there was something that God put on the hearts of a bunch of preachers. And the thing that he put on their hearts was somebody here who's struggling needs to get saved. You know who it was? It was Steve. Now, I don't brag on Steve much because he's here. He says, mama's boy, your boy. And she brings that up on a regular basis. Because he was a good boy. He had people drinking and carrying on around him. He didn't do that. He was a good boy. Went to church all his life. I believe somebody told him that if you don't want to go to hell, you need to say these words. And he did it. But he was still lost. It's not about heaven and hell. It's about your sin. See, you can't go to heaven with sin. Because God is holy. Well, I don't like the thing, Brother Billy, at Days of Refreshing. We can't bring a water in here. We can't bring Coke in here. We can't do nothing like this. We got some big guys. I'm going to stand old Patrick right over that door over there. And I'm going to put a sign on his chest that said, you dare. Amen. You say, why, Brother Billy? This is a holy place. You didn't walk into the holiest of holies. No. Outside in the courtyard, you brought your offering to God, and the priest took it in. And the first thing he did was he applied the blood. Let me tell you something. I pray that God's blood's on this place. Not just Days of Refreshing. A guy said the other day, yesterday a guy said this to my wife. He said, when does the meeting start? She said, on the 26th. He said, praise God. He came to Brother Richard's funeral. And he said this. He said, when does Brother Billy preach? My wife said, no, Brother Billy don't preach that week. So we get good preachers. Amen. Amen. He actually, Miss Jane, wanted to hear me. Can you believe that? He wanted to hear me. So he said, well, I'm going to try to make it. But he wasn't as enthusiastic because he knew, brother, I'm just kidding. There's a proverb, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. We set the standard. In proportion that you give yourself to hearing, you shall gain by the hearing. I've heard people say this for years. I didn't hear that. Amen. Okay, so I've got 6 points and I'm hurrying. Okay, and I promise I'll hurry. First one is, those who have no interest in the Word of God find it so uninteresting to be here. Amen. If there was no interest in your heart this morning before you came to church to hear the Word of God, then you wasted your time. Yep. But those that find it uninteresting, it's because they have no interest in what God has to say in their Word. I put it off till later. Okay, go ahead. Please do not die until you get right with God. The second thing is, those who look for faults will find it. By the way, I went to artificial insemination. For you don't know, that's artificially breeding cattle. I went to that school. It's very expensive. The first thing the guy said, how many of you are here because you work for a man who has a big ranch? And about half of them stuck their hand up there. How many of you are just small ranchers and you're trying to better your herd by the seam of some other great bull somewhere that you can buy? And so the rest of us stuck our hand up. He said, you will probably graduate and that group will probably not. I thought, man, that's not... And he said, we'll give you money back right now. I think it was $1,600. We'll give you money back right now. And I thought, boy, that was a hard thing to say. Why did he say that? He said, because if you're not interested in this, you're just a hired hand, punches cows, brands cows. If you're just a hired hand, there's no interest, you will not learn it like those that are hungry to hear it. That's what's happened to our churches. So those who look for fault will find fault. Amen. If you look at the way I'm dressed, my wife, we went through a deal this morning. We had 3 or 4 pair of pants laid out to go with this coat. I didn't select what she wanted me to have. Now, a lot of that's just because I'm facetious. If she'd have said the other one, I'd have probably went for the one she wanted. But she hasn't learned that. You ladies are too naive about things. Amen. I thought my wife was the only one like that, but I found out that's not true. It's a female thing. Those who seek truth, guess what? Will find it. You can come to this church, and you may not understand, and you may not grasp a lot of things, but I'm telling you, if you're looking for God, you're going to find Him. Amen. You see, God's bigger than we think we are. I mean, God is. Let me give you an illustration that I read, and I was overwhelmed with it until I heard a missionary say this. That a person who is starving to death, now none of us know anything about starving to death. My wife said the other day, I'm starving. I said, no, you ain't, honey. No, ma'am. We don't know what starvation is. A person that is starving to death actually loses his appetite. It's a tremendous principle now. He actually loses his appetite. A missionary said, I helped my best friend in the war, in my arms, who hadn't had anything to eat in weeks. And he said, I found some food. And he said, I was putting it in his mouth, and I was trying to stop. I said, eat it, man. Swallow it, man. You got to get some strength back. Eat the food. And he would spit it out. He said, after a little while, the man said, I want to go to heaven, man. I don't know how to get there. Tell me. And the missionary said this before he was saved. He said, I couldn't tell that man who died in my arms of spiritual starvation. Did you know that our churches are hungry for the Word of God, and they're not hearing it? This is not a social club here. This is not a place we come scratch one another's back or have itching ears to hear what the world has to say. God's going to do good for you today. Does God do good for you every day as a Christian? You betcha. You betcha, buddy. But on the precept or the concept, God's going to give you a Cadillac, honey. You're going to drive that thing straight to hell. The key that we need to see is that starving people are starving to hear the Word of God. If we can't do anything but preach God's book, that's what we ought to be doing. Those who bring faith, what does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Those who bring faith in believing that God's going to feed them that day, you know what happens? They get assurance. Let me ask you something. How many times you read something in the Bible, did you know that if Jesus comes back in the next few minutes, all the born again is going to go through this roof? We're not going to tear the roof up or nothing. We're just going to be out of here, and we're going to be in God's presence in a flash. I mean, before we... I can't grasp that. Miss Jacqueline's got people down here in this graveyard, so other people do down here. You know they're going to come out of the ground. You know what's going to happen? They're going to have a new body. The natural mind don't receive that stuff. People say, well, I don't believe in the resurrection. I don't believe in the rapture. You will one day. It's going to happen. You say, Brother Billy, can you explain that? No, I can't explain the new birth. God changed my life. Didn't ask me nothing. He made me different inside. You want to know why I'm talking to you like I'm talking to you? Because God said so. It ain't me. Ain't me. So here we find those who bring faith receive assurance and their faith is increased. Amen. And then lastly, those who come joyfully leave glad. I've told this church for years and years and years, when people come to this church, they ought to see a happy people. Amen. Now, if you're going to come down here and look at your feet the whole time the preaching's going on, and you're going to sull and you got to, you know, look when you, that's why I said, hey, amen. You know why? Because people have looked at Baptists who fight on Wednesday night over a business meeting that don't make a hill of beans. And it runs people off. We're noted for something we shouldn't be noted for. Now, I'm going to close with this. God called pastors. Are you listening? This is profound. Y'all ready? Got your pen out? You want to write this down? God called pastors to lead His sheep. They are not a tie-breaking vote. This carpet right here in the auditorium, you see, one night we had four couples, I believe it was. And I was so tickled, the guy was going to pay for the carpet and put it in the church, I'm going to do the whole thing. In fact, he helped us this week back here with this carpet. Got samples, brought them in. We sat down at a coffee over here in the little room and we talked about it and we were going to pick out a color. Did you know those four couples could not get together on four colors of carpet? None of them was like this room back here. None of them was that color. They were mostly like this with a little tin of this, a little tin of that, a little tin of the other. Couldn't get together. Miss Jacqueline remembers it. Miss Zelma remembers it. I said, well, we won't have any carpet if we can't be in full agreement. I'll call the man tomorrow and tell him to keep his carpet and the labor for putting it in. Oh, wait a minute now. We want the benefit, but we don't care so much about the unity. Me first. I like it this way. Finally, the couple that was dissenting said, whatever you think, Brother Billy. I said, okay, I'll choose this one. Call the guy to come down and put it in. Brother Harold Clayton said this. You know where you went wrong, Brother Billy? I said, where? He said, you ask him. When have you heard the shepherd ask the sheep anything? He takes them to grass. He takes them to water. He makes sure they don't fight. Make sure they're not ugly with one another. But as far as figuring stuff out, he said, you tell them what God said and keep on going. Some will leave, some will stay, some will get happy, some will get sad. Amen. I like both of those. If you're happy, hallelujah. If you're sad, you can get happy after a while. Amen. The pastor of the church is to lead the sheep. It's to lead the sheep. Amen. Let's stand. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. We're going to have just a short invitation, not much. I don't apologize for the truth of God. I don't apologize for